Haines-based Southeast Backcountry Adventures will open limited operations in Petersburg. And Anchorage Daily News reporter James Brooks explains the unforeseen cost of the Alaska-class ferries and why they aren't sailing yet. This is the KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strempel. Those stories are up next. Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures, or SEBA, is starting a new heliski operation out of Petersburg, Alaska. SEBA owner Scott Sundberg says that starting in late January, the company will begin using a boat stationed in Farragut and Thomas Bays as a jumping-off point for heliski tours. KHNS reporter Henry Leisha spoke with Sundberg to learn more.
How common is it to go heli skiing from a boat? Like, are there operations like this in other areas of Alaska or other areas of the world?
Generally, heli skiing from a boat is with, the boat owner. The owner has a helicopter and he hires guides to take him. It's not very common. We know of about 8 boat trips in the last 10 years in Prince William Sound area. My guess is if people like boats, they'll want to come on this. So we have probably a fairly narrow audience, and that's why we don't expect a lot of frequency. But if we can get a couple weeks in a year, it's just going to add to our quiver of what we can do, and it's going to build on our business.
So when did you first get this idea to do heli skiing from a boat? Were you looking at areas first and then thinking about, well, how do we access those? Or I guess what was kind of the thought process?
When we thought about getting a permit in other places in the Tongass or Southeast, most of it's national forest, as you know, but some of those permits just aren't available. And we went further south to Petersburg because that was available, and they said they could process the permit. What we learned from Teton Gravity Research was it's just too far to do it from Petersburg. The terrain's just too far away. And we looked into ground sources and a way to just do it from the ground, but that's not exactly what we wanted. We wanted a little more higher scale adventure people would be comfortable in, and the boat seemed to fit in two ways. One, you can get really close to your terrain, and two, it's comfortable and accommodating. Weather provided, we will attempt to ski from the mooring locations that the Forest Service has suggested. And those are both out of Farragut Bay and Thomas Bay.
What are your plans for Haines this year? Does this new tour affect operations here at all? Or
ultimately, it should help Haines and our business in Haines. People do the boat, and if that's the first time they've come with SEBA, then they'll probably definitely be interested in coming to Haines. And this is also a way to kind of get some of our old clientele back to Haines, which, people are looking for new things. We've had people ski with us for 6 years in a row, and we haven't seen them in a number of years, partially due to bad weather and lack of new terrain. They've been waiting on the Bureau of Land Management to open up terrain. Once those things are settled, I think that Haines will obviously offer new terrain or more of it on an annual basis.
That was KHNS reporter Henry Leisha in conversation with SEBA owner Scott Sundberg. For many communities in Alaska, the Marine Highway System is a vital part of transportation. More than a decade ago, the state decided to add 2 new boats to the fleet. The Alaska-class ferries were envisioned when plans for the Juneau Access Project were being finalized. They would service Upper Lynn Canal as shuttle ferries. But through several administrations, those plans have changed a lot. Now the Anchorage Daily News reports an additional $30 million is needed before the Hubbard and Taslina ferries can start sailing. Alaska Public Media's Abby Collins spoke with the ADN's James Brooks about the situation the state is in.
The key thing folks need to know is the state has spent $120 million on these 2 new ships. They're brand new. They're ready to enter state service just about. But the state can't operate them as designed. And now the state is asking for, or at least the Marine Highway System is planning to spend millions of dollars more in order to get them to serve. And then there will be even more money needed ashore to build the port facilities to support these.
So how did we get to this point? These boats were originally designed in connection to the Juno Access Project.
Right. And the key issue seems to be the fact that it takes longer to build a ferry than a single governor's term. Every new governor comes in and has a different idea for this ferry program. And that seems to have been the key issue here. Is that they were designed for one thing, then the design changes, and then it changes back, and there's modifications, and the mission changes, oil prices change. All these changes happen while this ferry idea was moving forward.
And now this new development that you're reporting on, this $30 million that was unforeseen, tell us where we're at now, and also why this is just coming to light now.
It's just coming to light now because it's one of those things where the goals of the project have changed. As we had talked about, they were designed to fill this niche role. And now because of cuts to the ferry system, they're being asked to enter into general service. And in order to do that, they need these modifications. They need crew quarters so that the crews on board can work longer hours for longer voyages. And they need modified boarding doors since they'll be asked to serve ports that they weren't originally intended for.
I was going to ask who is to blame here, but it sounds like there are a lot of different factors at play that led to this.
There's no villain in this story. The ironic thing is that these two ferries are in the position they're in because people wanted to cut costs. We're going to end up spending more money on these ferries because the decisions that were made along the lines were people with good intentions who wanted to cut costs, and now it's backfired.
Is anything being done about these additional costs, or are they just being accepted as a necessary thing if we want these boats?
The governor hasn't made a decision on that yet, but I think he's in kind of a hard situation because if these modifications don't go forward, how do you use the ferries?
That was Alaska Public Media's Abby Collins speaking with Anchorage Daily News reporter James Brooks. I'm Claire Strimple. That's the KHNS Local News. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org, or download the podcast on Stitcher or NPR One.